to the three people listening to the Alcohol and Addiction Podcast around the world. It's time! Introducing first, with a professional record of 3.3 million confirmed kills per year, hailing from all parts of the world, the invisible, the dominant, the violent belief system known as alcoholism. And now, the moment none of you have been waiting for. The man who has beaten addictions in every weight class, with his only professional defeat being his inability to stop talking over his guests. Hailing from Starbucks joints around the world, he is not an alcoholic. He refuses to be anonymous. He doesn't drink alcohol and spends every waking moment helping other people do the same. Your host, Mr. Lee Davey.
Megan can't stop thinking about alcohol. She writes to me, "How can I stop thinking about alcohol?" Megan, this is for you. In history class, my grey moccasins tap dancing underneath the table, Chingy's cock inscribed into the desk with a compass. I have to focus on the Norman conquest of England because I have a test I need to pass so people will think that I am something special. People who slip on Jordans or give golf clubs a spit shine or lace up those gloves and want to take this shit to the next level, they need to focus on nothing but the game. The flying saucer builders, the cancer curers, a movie star that doesn't drink trying to learn what a hangover feels like so they can play the role of an alcoholic to perfection. The 16-year-old kid who wants the driver instructor to say yes, the 44-year-old foreigner who needs to pass the indefinite leave to remain test or else be torn apart from her family. When I wake up, I think about alcohol. When I go to bed, I think about alcohol. Every waking moment in between, yes, you know it, folks, all I do is think about alcohol. Alcoholism is an invisible, violent, and dominant belief system. It infiltrates your DNA and remains unseen because you don't think about it. If you want to be the best at what you do, then you need to focus on the goal with the keen eye of the Cyclops. You need to make the unseen seen. I want you to feel famished. I want you to starve. I want you to be prepared to grind every tooth to the nub, chewing on the thoughts of alcohol. Cognitive dissonance is a spiral staircase. It takes you to a ghost holding a coffin lid with one hand and a bottle of embalming fluid in the other. But for every bottom, guess what, folks? There is a top. If you want to stop thinking about alcohol, then you need to do nothing but think about alcohol. Climb the stairwell, don't slide down that banister, stick your head above the clouds, breathe, breathe, for the first time in your life, breathe. And today we learn how to do that in this podcast dedicated to Megan. My name is Lee Davey, I am not an alcoholic, I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol, and I spend every waking moment helping other people do the same, like right now.
Hello, everybody. This is Lee Davey. Welcome to another episode of the Alcohol Addiction Podcast. I am not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol. I spend every waking moment of my life helping other people do the same, including right now, going to respond to a question from Megan. Megan's joined the Truth About Alcohol email list. Please do that if you want to receive my blog posts and lots of other messages from me. You can do that at thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and sign up when the annoying pop-up flashes on the screen. And Megan asks, how can I stop thinking about alcohol, right? And I get it completely and utterly, okay? What is happening probably is that you now have a lot of thoughts around your head that keep telling you that drinking alcohol is not a good idea. It's just not a good idea whatsoever, and that you should be stopping drinking. And so now you're trying to stop drinking, but actually, now you're trying to stop. The resistance is chirping up. It's got a megaphone, isn't it? And it's inside your mind and it's going, drink, 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 drink. Don't listen to Lee Davey. He doesn't know what he's on about. Don't listen to Andy Gray. She's fucking a nerd. Don't listen to Andy Ramage. He's fucking doesn't know what he's talking about. William Porter doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's fucking bing, 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 bing in your ear all the time, right? And he's telling you that your friends are right. You don't have a problem. That you can drink if you want to drink. You can moderate. Everybody moderates. You're not an alcoholic. Blah, 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 right? And I guess what you're saying is, how can I stop that? How can I stop that voice continually chirping on? Because if the voice didn't chirp on, then this thing would be a doddle. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with this, right? I would be able to stop drinking alcohol easy peasy, lemon squeezy, right? And that is an important point in itself, right? Because you're right, you would be able to stop drinking alcohol very, very easily because the likelihood is that your physical addiction to alcohol is not really going to be the problem. And if you decided you was going to stop drinking for a week, maybe just to see what it would be like, unless you are someone who is really, really, really got a super, super serious problem with alcohol that you're drinking, like bottles of vodka a day, and you need medical attention. If you are like most of the people who come to Strive, or all the people who come to Strive, and you're somebody who's drinking a bottle of wine a night or something like that, and you decide to not drink for a week, then, you know, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to have any really uncomfortable physical withdrawals, right? They will be minor irritances at best. And what I'm talking about here is people moan and groan, don't they? And they talk about how difficult it is to get over that physical addiction to alcohol. But come on, you know, I mean, I don't know about you out there. How many of you have been in a fight, right? Like, I've been in lots of fights. I've been headbutted repeatedly in the face, etc., etc. I've been stabbed. You know, how many of you have, like, broken bones? There's pain, and there's pain. There's suffering, and there's suffering, right? Physical addiction to alcohol. If you are, like, you know, the Strivers who are drinking, and their alcohol is way out of control, but it's not out of control. So, like, if you stopped, you're going to die, and you'll know if you're in that kind of you're in that kind of situation. The physical aspect isn't the problem. It's the psychological aspect, right? And that's likely what's going on for Megan, all right? But here's the thing, Megan. In order for you to stop thinking about alcohol, I need you to do nothing but think about alcohol, right? Here's why. Alcoholism is an invisible, violent, and dominant belief system, okay? It is violent because it kills 3.3 million people a year, all right? It's violent because all of those fights I told you about just now, 99.9% of them were around drinking alcohol, okay? It is dominant because, according to the World Health Organization report 2014, over 52% of people had tried alcohol globally of the people that they questioned. But I prefer to narrow that down. And if you look around yourself and ask yourself, how many of the people do I know who's in my sphere of influence that drink alcohol versus those that don't, you'll find that the vast majority of people in your life drink alcohol. Okay, it's particularly true if you're from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the UK, okay, South Africa. They're the kind of, sorry, Kleiss, Sweden as well. Okay, they're the Strivers, and we seem to have those kind of problems, right? So It's dominant for that reason. And it's invisible because it's causing so much anarchy in the world. It's killing so many people, more than war, murder, and terrorism combined. And yet nobody seems to give a shit. In fact, everybody does the opposite. It's the only drug in the world where people will actively encourage you to take it and call you a prick if you don't, right? So it's really, really difficult, right? And this is, and the reason that we love something so bad is because the belief system that underpins that, the belief system and the worldviews that says that alcohol is fantastic and we can't do without it and it's great and it's a normal part of society, that is a belief system, and it is an invisible belief system. We're designed from birth to drink alcohol, okay? And the way that it remains invisible, Megan, is that people don't think about alcohol. So for 35 years of my life, I very rarely, okay, thought to myself, holy shit, why do I drink alcohol and why can't I stop? Now, don't get me wrong. There were occasions while I had my head over the toilet, talking to God down the great white telephone, shouting out to Bert, Rolf, and Huey, that I said to myself, look, I'm never fucking drinking again. There were times when I did that. When I looked at that blood and I looked at the yellow bile and I couldn't heave up anymore because I had nothing left in my stomach apart from my stomach, I would say to myself, I am never drinking alcohol again. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about moving beyond those little spurts of inspiration driven by your hangover or the fact that you've just posted a naked picture of your cock on Facebook or had sex with your next door neighbor's dog. I'm not talking about those moments. I'm talking about the moments when you sit down sober, rationally, logically, and you say to yourself, you stroke your beard like I'm doing right now on my my video. Yes, go to Lee Davey YouTube and you'd be able to watch this podcast on a video. So yeah, you could be on stroking your beard, thinking to yourself, I wonder why I drink one of the top five most powerfully addictive drugs in the world that is screwing my life. Why do I drink it? And why does everybody else around me drink it? And why can't I stop? What is going on here? Why is everybody so against me actually stopping drinking? Why do I feel so ashamed of stopping taking this drug? This wouldn't happen if I decided to stop drinking, taking heroin. If I went to my family and said to them, yo, family, sit down a minute. I've got a real problem. Like, I'm taking this drug. I can't stop it. It's just dominating my mind. I can't stop thinking about it. Every time I take it, I just lose control. I fuck everything up. Like, it ruins my relationships. It ruins my personal health. It ruins my work, my career. I have no meaning and purpose. It's a nightmare. How can I stop this heroin? Everyone would be like, oh no! You know, like, quick, let's get you to rehab. £4,000, £5,020, we'll just put the house up for sale and we'll remortgage and we'll get you the help you need because, hey, I cannot let the world know that my daughter takes heroin. But if you tell them alcohol, it's completely different, right? I get it, completely get it. So what is happening for you, Megan, right now is you're starting to ask the right questions. And what you're experiencing is something called cognitive dissonance. Now, cognitive dissonance around alcohol, the last time you had it, you was likely a teenager. It was around that time where you knew that playing with Barbie and Ken and playing with the fort and going on your skateboard and climbing up trees and bird nesting or whatever you did when you was a kid, you knew that that was fantastic and wonderful and enjoy, you know, filled you with the joys of spring. But there's another part of you that said, oh man, I've got to be an adult. I've got to be like everybody else. I've got to fit in. I can't be a kid forever. And then you looked around and you thought to yourself, right, what's the blueprint here? How do I become an adult? And you looked at people smoking. You looked at people fucking. You looked at people drinking and you thought, well, I think I've got to do that and I've got to get a job and all those kind of things. But there would have been cognitive dissonance there, particularly around your first drink of alcohol, because it would have tasted like shit. It would have tasted like the poison that it was. And you would have said to yourself at that time, holy fuck, this is disgusting. Why is everybody drinking this shit? But at the same time, you couldn't prevent yourself not from drinking it because the power of fitting in, alcoholism as an invisible, violent, dominant belief system, wouldn't have allowed you to turn around and say, I'm not drinking this shit, it's dishwater, right? So that cognitive dissonance is in your head going, boom, 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 Megan, it's like an alarm, ding, dong, ding, dong, Megan, 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 don't drink it, don't drink it. And then someone else pipes up in your head and says, drink it, fit in. And now you've got this conflict going on in your mind. And the way that you dealt with that conflict, the way that you silenced it, the way that when you was a teenager, you answered your own question and you stopped thinking about alcohol, was you silenced the cognitive dissonance, right? How did you do that? You did that by falling into the trap that alcoholism is an invisible, violent, dominant belief system. You convinced yourself that the invisible, violent, dominant belief system was the right approach, was the best thing for you, and all of a sudden, over time, you created a lot of narratives, a lot of stories that fitted into the worldview and the belief system that alcoholism needed from you. So you would say to people that you like alcohol, that it provides you with value, that it improves your social situation, that it tastes delicious. I can't have a steak without this beautiful bottle of red wine, right? All this nonsense that I need it to silence the voices in my head, that I'm not confident without it, blah, 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 right? That is how you silenced it. So you have two options right now. That's one option. If you want to silence it, go ahead and drink. Drive the cognitive dissonance away and boom, all of a sudden you're all right again, right? But I get the feeling that's not what you want to do, Megan. I get the feeling that now you're no longer a teenager, that you're a grown woman with wisdom and experience of many decades behind you, that you can't shut this fucking thing up. It's impossible. So I want you to do the reverse. I want you to make it a little bit louder for a bit. All right. As I alluded to in my introduction, if we want to be the very best at whatever we want to be the very best at, whether that is being the best basketball player, being the best tennis player, passing your driving test, being the best marathon runner, being the best cook, being the best at putting nail varnish on your fingers, being the best hairdresser, whatever it is, you need to think and devote so much time and effort into that thing, okay? So if you want to be someone that doesn't think about alcohol anymore, okay, I think that is going to be a very, very difficult thing to achieve. A much better goal is to change the way you're thinking about alcohol. What I mean by that is, when I wake up in the morning, all I do is think about alcohol. When I go to bed at night, I'm thinking about alcohol. And all the way in between, I'm thinking about alcohol. So here are you and me, Megan, on the same spectrum. We're on that same alcoholic spectrum, if you like, okay? But at different stages of it, no doubt, all right? And we both have, or are, doing the same thing. You're thinking about alcohol all the time. I'm thinking about alcohol all the time. You hate it and want to silence it. I fucking love it and want more of it. Why? Because I'm someone that doesn't drink alcohol. You're someone that does drink alcohol, okay? Now, if you are able to follow the correct stages, follow the right mentor, grab somebody who is in a position where you want to be, someone like me, someone like Andy Ramage, someone like William Porter, someone like Annie Grace, or a myriad of different people like Holly Whitaker, Laura McCowan, who have all been on this podcast, okay? That's not true. Holly Whitaker has not been on this podcast. Holly Whitaker, why haven't you been on this podcast, okay? You're not listening to my emails. Please reply to my emails, even if it's just to say fuck off, so I know, okay, that you're getting them. But people listen to people like that and then say to myself, well, okay, they know how to be someone that doesn't drink alcohol. Lee's telling me that if I become someone that doesn't drink alcohol, then actually I will think about alcohol, but it will be in a different way. It will be in a healthier way. It will be in a better way and it won't bother me so much. So how do I go and do that, right? So find somebody, okay? Find their group, find their community and get stuck in. Let me just turn this off a minute because it's just going to beep up on my screen. And that, Megan, is what you need to do. If you can now continually focus about alcohol, so keep saying to yourself, why am I drinking? What is the truth about alcohol? I'm going to read more books about alcohol. I'm going to listen to more podcasts about alcohol. I'm going to learn what this invisible, violent, and dominant belief system is. I'm going to join a Strive community, or I'm going to join this Naked Mind community, or I'm going to join Hip Sobriety community, and I'm going to take the taster, or the intensive, or Annie Grace's taster and intensive, or Holly Whitaker's Hip Sobriety School, whatever floats your boat, whoever you feel a connection to, okay? And you dive into that, and you think nothing but alcohol every single day about, like, basically, you're going to war with this bastard, right? It's like you don't want to drink anymore. You're fucking going to war. And if you, I've been watching Peaky Blinders lately, right? And you know, there's this little thing going on in Peaky Blinders. It's a show on Netflix about gangsters. And what the gangsters tend to do is they take a lot of pride in knowing more about their enemy than their enemy knows about them. Because if you know more about your enemy, then you will be able to suss out their weaknesses. You will know how to hurt them. You will know how to conquer them. Alcoholism is our enemy. Okay, if we know everything about alcoholism, if we know more about alcoholism than alcoholism knows about itself, then we can find those weaknesses. We can find the way to get that claw hammer and stick it in there and pull the heart out, right? And the only way that you can do that is by learning and focusing on putting alcohol first. If you could put alcohol first and you can focus on nothing but alcoholism as an invisible, violent and dominant belief system, then eventually you'll be able to slay the beast. Once you slay the beast, you can now start putting some time in and your time will grow. You've got a week, you've got a month, you've got 6 months, you've got a year. And now you're thinking differently about alcohol, okay? Now it's different. Now the alarm bells aren't going. It's very, very, very different. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that go 6 months and they're like, yeah, I don't want to be thinking. I don't want to be a member of Strive anymore. I don't want to keep thinking about alcohol. It's like kind of dominating my life, etc., etc. But those people who then decide to take off and not think about alcohol anymore, they're in a completely different place. Like, the way that they're thinking about alcohol and how they think it's unhealthy to them is very different to how you're thinking about it right now, right? What? I'm guessing through the very scant information that you sent me. You'll probably want to stop drinking alcohol, but the voices keep telling you to drink alcohol. And it's really kind of bothering you. Some of these people I've met 6 months or a year on, they're just like, I'm kind of done with it. I don't want to drink alcohol anymore. I don't want to think about it anymore. I'm done with it. I just want to move on. And that is fine as well. But just remember this. According to Changing to Thrive, a very well thought out and researched book by James and Janice Prochaska, people going through the maintenance stage of the 6 stages of change when it comes to alcohol, you're probably talking about going through that stage for about 5 years. So just be very, very wary if you are in that 6 month year phase and your brain's telling you, so I don't need to be dealing with this shit anymore. I'm just kind of over it. Just be careful. All right. That is why Strive is here for life. That is why we are not Facebook. We're not Twitter. We are a family of people who forge deep, meaningful connections for life because we need to be kind of like working on this stuff for a long period of time. It's not like AA where we need to work on this shit. Otherwise, if we have a drink, we're going to go back to where we're going to go back to and that you're stuck in this. Like, it's you're with us for life because you want to be with us for life because this is your new family. These are your new mates. Instead of going to the pub to watch Chelsea versus Man United on Monday night, you're going to Starbucks with John to talk about growth and life and what he's been reading lately and what podcast he's listening to and to ask him his help and advice on how you could advance your career or get your trip to Machu Picchu off the ground. That's what we're talking about here. So I hope that was helpful to you, Megan. Obviously, you might have some follow-up questions. If you do, send me an email at thetruth@alcohol.co.uk. Please remember, all of our podcasts, or the vast majority of them, 99.9% of them, you can find the video of them on Lee Davey YouTube. Just Google Lee Davey YouTube and you'll find the videos there. If you like what we do, please rate us on iTunes, SoundCloud or whatever, on YouTube, leave us a nice comment. Spread the word and tell everybody that... what the work we're doing here, because that would be really, I'll be really grateful for that. If you think we're shit and you don't like us, you think I'm a tosser, keep that to yourself because when you tell me those type of things, it actually hurts my feelings because I have a little bit of low self-esteem sometimes. But if you have something constructive to say to me about what we're doing, then send me an email at truthbutalcohol@gmail.com. My name is Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol and I spend every waking moment thinking about it and I fucking love it. And Megan, I can help you get to this stage so you can think and love about it exactly the same as me. Thank you for listening.
Ruth said she loved where she was just after 30 days of working on the Truth About Alcohol Taster. Sue said the Truth About Alcohol Taster was hand on heart the best decision she ever made. I have learned that alcohol is no place in my life and I am no longer alone, said Rhonda. Jennifer said the intensive helped her beyond just quitting drinking. She now leads a fuller, more awakened life. Nikki said the intensive brought a depth of awareness that has changed the way she now views the world. Talking about the intensive, Maureen said, you will not regret taking this experience, but you will regret passing it up. Shit gets real. You are in it. And that, for me, is reason enough to dive in. The self-growth and discovery it offers is profound, as are the connections you make. Talking about Strive, Bonnie said, the people in Strive felt like new friends with lots of wonderful support for each other. Tony said, Strive is inclusive and supportive. There is so much empathy, understanding, and encouragement. And this is where I am not a number on a balance sheet. This is where I found home. Julian said, I believe we are defined by the people and ideas we surround ourselves with. And so the warmth, support, and personal growth I've found at Strive make it the place I want to be, the place I have to be. You drank alone.
Do not quit alone. Head to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and invest in yourself today. Become someone that doesn't drink alcohol.